Then Janet is a reminder here of pick your cards up. There's cards for everybody that are in the kitchen. So pick those up in the kitchen. Otherwise, John and Janet will have to do distribution, all those, and they don't feel like that. And then Jen reminded me that at the front, there's little notepad, prayer book type of things that are at the front from us for everybody. So take those as a gift and thank you and all those fun things. Am I missing anything else? Atlee, Karen, Bob. Okay. So we're all good there. What's that? I mentioned Christmas Eve. Yep. And John's on duty for making coffee Christmas Eve. So Christmas Eve, 4:30. Christmas trees. So, you know, on the top of a Christmas tree, there's four main items that go on the top of a Christmas tree. So who here, do people put up angels? Raise your hand, I'm doing a survey. Angels, who's an angel? Okay. How about a star? Okay. A star. And then how about a bow? Okay, we have a bow. All right. And then the last one, how about a snowflake? So those are like the four top items. You have those. So I just wanted to kind of see. We have an angel that we have on top of our tree. And I'm not sure. So I was thinking about trees this past week. At Action, we have this huge, have you ever seen an arborvitae as a Christmas tree? Actually, I'm like loving these arborvitae. So my brother-in-law had this huge arborvitae tree that was next to his house, and he was sick of it, so he cut it down. And at Action, we always had these big trees. Well, I pull up to Action the one night, and he had this, it's like 20 feet. He had it in his back of his minivan, and it was jammed in the back of his minivan. And he drove like, you know, from his house down in like, you know, 10, 15 minutes with this thing sticking out of his van on Route 10. It was such a hysterical sight, but it's a great tree. So arborvitaes make good trees. But so Rudolph asked Santa why Dasher and Dancer always are allowed to take coffee breaks. Do you know what Santa said? He said, they're my star bucks. Why were the shepherds always laughing? They always played sheep tricks on each other. Not cheap tricks, but sheep tricks. And then why did Rudolph get in trouble for his report card? He went down in history. Okay. All right. No. And then the last final one was, and I like this one. I wasn't going to use it, but I really do like this one. I thought of it this morning again when I walked down the steps at home. Why does Santa have three gardens? Do you know why? So he can ho, ho, ho. Okay. All right. Anyway. With all those, Jeff's loving that one. Let's open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you for just friendship and fellowship, and we thank you for laughter. Thank you for worship, Lord. And there's so many things going around this world so many times that people aren't laughing and people aren't worshiping together. And there's a lot of things that take place in our world that we really don't see, but you do. Lord, I pray for people's hearts and souls this time of year, and I pray for families that, as Jen mentioned, that maybe have some difficulties. Lord, I pray for a healing in amongst families if there's a breakdown of the family unit within this time of year, that people will come together, and Lord, that your healing would take place in families where they need to take place. You know, we pray. Amen. So the question today was, which is also the sermon message, why Bethlehem? Why Bethlehem? Why out of thousands of cities and towns in the region of Israel and Egypt and the whole Middle East, why Bethlehem? Like that was kind of the question out of all these places. Why Bethlehem? And we're going to look at that this morning in Matthew, and we're going to just kind of step out and as we look at the Christmas story, and there's so many different angles we can look at the Christmas story, but Bethlehem. What's the uniqueness? What's the importance of Bethlehem then and then also now? Matthew chapter 2. We're going to be looking at, I have actually 4 through 6, but we're actually going to be looking at 1 through 7 here in Matthew chapter 2. It's starting in verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So they're all disturbed. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And then we know that story where Herod went and tried to get all the information he could so they knew when they saw the star, when they came back, and then that's why Herod went out and murdered babies, children 2 years and younger to take out the king of the Jews, right? That's what we know of the story. So, and we think about that. Like, think about that as we read our story and we have Christmas and we have nice, we don't have a Christmas tree here. And we have a nice Christmas trees at home and we have our angels on top and our stars and our bows and our snowflakes. And we have all the nice things that we have, right? And we sit here but the time of this was all taking place that we go back and celebrate. What we're celebrating for was such a hard time of life for these people. And the Magi came in and they're like, "Where is the king? Where is this king?" And Herod and all the Jews were disturbed. So why Bethlehem? What's the importance of Bethlehem? Well, it had to take place in Bethlehem, right? I mean, that's kind of like the answer. So the message is why Bethlehem? And the answer is it had to take place in Bethlehem. For the Christ, for the Messiah to be born, we know that the prophecies talked about it, and that's in Micah 5. And we've talked about this verse before too. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Oh, didn't have it marked. Chapter Micah 5, 2. "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old." Right? We're talking about the origins of from old, the origins of Jesus Christ, God's Son, who has always been from everlasting to everlasting. So his origins were from old, from ancient times. And they specifically call out Bethlehem here because there was two Bethlehems in Israel at the time. So there's two Bethlehems, and they are specific on which Bethlehem Jesus would be born in. That being said, when the Magi showed up, they were like, where? And this is what I find interesting. So if the wise men saw from the east this star, and they knew the prophecy, they knew something great was taking place, right? They knew that this star was something. And they came and they knew, where can we find this king? Well, number one is, why didn't they know it was going to be Bethlehem? I mean, they knew that it was the king of the Jews, and they started to travel, and they walked and came into Bethlehem. And at Bethlehem then, Herod goes to who? Goes to the Jewish chief priests and the Jewish people and the teachers of the law to find out exactly where this king would be born, which I just find interesting. So out of Bethlehem, we know a bunch of different things out of Bethlehem. And there's another prophecy that takes place at the same time. But first we're going to look at Jeremiah, we're not going to go to Jeremiah yet. But out of Bethlehem, when you have this location, this spot, what's the importance of the Jews? Well, Ruth and Boaz were married in Bethlehem. We know that to take place. We know who was born in Bethlehem, and we're going to look at that. It's still talked about today. Who else was born in Bethlehem? Who else was anointed in Bethlehem? King David. So you have these similarities, right, with Christ and King David, Christ being through the line of David, through that line. And David himself was also born and anointed in Bethlehem. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Reads the story, starting in verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil, and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. This is early, and even before this time in early Israel history, even before this, why else? What else is in the importance of Bethlehem? Even before this. And that goes back to Genesis. Genesis, where Rachel, the wife of whom? The wife of Jacob, died giving birth to Benjamin on the way, and they buried her where? In Bethlehem. Genesis 35:19 talks about that. And we'll get back to Samuel, but 35:19. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem, over the tomb Jacob set up a pillar. And to this day, the pillar marks Rachel's tomb. And actually, to this day, even when you look at a map, on the map, it shows Rachel's tomb. Thousands of years. So from Genesis, so Bethlehem, this small little town, all these things have taken place. First with Rachel, so that was an important part of the whole aspect of Bethlehem. And then you get to the First Samuel part. Sorry, I'm jumping around, but going back to First Samuel, the importance. I'm going to start up in verse 2. But Samuel said, how can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me. The Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate. Samuel did what the Lord said when he arrived at Bethlehem. The elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, do you come in peace? Samuel replied, yes, in peace I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord anointed stands before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height. I was going to say his weight. Maybe he's really fat or skinny. It doesn't say how big he was. It just says how his height. For I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that man looks at. Man looks at the outer appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Jesse then had Shema pass by, and Samuel said, nor has this the Lord chosen this one. Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to them, the Lord has not chose any of these. So he asked Jesse, are these all your sons? There is still the youngest, Jesse answered, but he is tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent, and he had him brought. He was ruddy, with a fine appearance, handsome in features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. He is the one. So Samuel took the horn. This is in Bethlehem. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. In power. David was anointed in Bethlehem. Rachel was buried in Bethlehem. And out of Bethlehem, the prophecy said, this child, the Messiah, would be born in Bethlehem. Why Bethlehem? I don't know why Bethlehem. Why God chose Bethlehem? I do not have a clue. I just know God said through the prophet Micah, who was also contemporary with Jeremiah. So we look at those minor prophets in scripture, and it talks about the coming of the Messiah and talks about who Jesus would be. But specifically then, the wise men in the New Testament said, where is this guy born? Where is this king? And they all knew. So the wise men listened to Herod's instruction from the teachers of who? The teacher of the Jews, the Jewish people, the Israelites, those people that said, he is going to be born in Bethlehem. Okay. Now my question is, if these teachers, okay, they understood where the Messiah would be born, but they didn't believe it. That's what I look at that, and even to this day, you have that same. I have an example here, but you have that same feel. And I'm not dogging on the Jewish people. I'm not dogging on any race or whatever. But we know that the Jewish people, for generations, turn their back. Right? They turn their back on God. And they walk away from God, and here the Jewish people, Herod comes to them, and all the teachers of the law, the wise people of the law who studied the Torah, knew all the prophecies, yet they looked at this and didn't run into Bethlehem with the wise men to say, where's this king born? Why? Because they didn't believe it. They didn't believe at that time that Jesus was the Messiah. Evidently, they must have not have even believed this prophecy, because nobody else, as far as we know, went out to see the baby. Does that make sense? It doesn't make sense to me. It does not make sense to me that they wouldn't believe it after hearing it, but it does make sense. Because why? Because we're people. We're people, we're people, we're people. And the Jews at the time, they were people like we are people, and we're wicked, you hear it for so long and apathy sets in, and you just kind of go through the motions, and you don't want to disrupt the boat. And socially, what would this look like? You know, I can't think that something is going to come from from Bethlehem and here's this little child in a manger. It's like, no, because they were looking for this great king to come out and set Israel free, and not this little baby lying in a manger. And they didn't even believe the prophecy that they even knew. They didn't believe it. Now you come back around, going back to that disturbed. So Herod and all the Jews were disturbed over this. So many Jews, right, that aren't Messianic Jews today are still waiting for the Messiah. They're still looking for the Messiah to come. They don't hold to Jesus as being the Messiah. They were disturbed at this, but yet Herod believed enough that what did he do? He goes out and murders all these children, two and under, which led to the other prophecy that I was going to bring up from Jeremiah, where they talked about Rachel weeping for her children. So Rachel, then that's going back to where was Rachel buried. Rachel was buried in Bethlehem. Rachel, the mother of Israel, right? That's what the mother, the matriarch of Israel, and she is buried in Bethlehem, and it pulls out that prophecy. So there's two prophecies that come out to take place. Number one, the first one, Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem. And then when all the children were murdered, then they're calling out Rachel, the as women cried for their children. And they were disturbed. They were disturbed over this. So in our world today, we look at it today. I just read this article and there's a bunch of articles that, I found interesting, but this past week, there it is. I didn't have it. I want to get the details right because there's a lot of information here. So this past week, one of the Jewish ministers of public affairs came out and criticized the Pope. And the criticism was that I guess when the Pope went to visit Bethlehem and the people of Bethlehem, many times they have carvings and they have when we went to Bethlehem and in the city of Bethlehem now, it's surrounded by this wall. Like the people are contained inside this city. It's this wall all around Bethlehem to stop the transfer of Israel and Palestinians. And there's checkpoints and there's guards. But inside of Bethlehem, in the town, there's still a lot of Christians. In 1995, the Muslims actually started to, they took over Bethlehem and they rule Bethlehem. And it's 95% a Muslim city now. But the interesting part is, people, they all want the dollar. So guess what keeps generating people into Bethlehem? It's all about Jesus, right? Everyone comes to Bethlehem and they have all the churches, the Catholic Church, the Greek Orthodox, and they all have the birthplace of Christ. And you go down into this cavern and not a cave that they thought it's in this church, and it's all built around this area where they see Christ was born. If you have never been there, it's super touching. You go in and you just, like, as soon as you step in, you just like start to cry. I mean, it's just an amazing experience. But so all this is taking place today in Bethlehem in a Muslim city now. And there's still 10,000 and maybe or more, they think, of Palestinian Christians that still live there. And they're really limited on where they can go. So going back now to what the Pope said. So the Israeli minister of public affairs and he came out and criticized the Pope because the Pope this past week, they had an unveiling of baby Jesus in a manger. Did any of you read any of this articles? So when they unveiled at the Vatican this baby Jesus, and it was all custom made with wood, you know, the wood, and it's carved by craftsmen in Bethlehem. It's actually very beautiful. But they had baby Jesus lying in the manger, and under baby Jesus, he was wrapped in the Palestinian headdress. So guess what happened? So the Jews now say, whoa, you can't do that. They're saying Jesus was Jewish. He wasn't Palestinian. You know, the battles that we've been dealing with for centuries with, but they came out and said, so they slammed the Pope. I'm not agreeing everything with the Pope, don't get me wrong, but they slammed the Pope on that. How can you let this take place on this Palestinian scarf, baby Jesus in the manger, the most sacred of everything? And I'm thinking to myself, wait a second. You guys don't even believe he's the Messiah. The whole purpose of Jesus wasn't for this birth, wasn't for this economic success within a village or a town. It was for salvation. It was for the Jewish people who were looking for, which we know and you see that we read about, looking for the Messiah, who didn't even believe that he is the Messiah. And now they're calling all this stuff like, well, wait a minute, Jesus is Jewish. He was born Jewish. He died Jewish. And they were criticizing the Pope on this. And so I kind of just laughed when they pulled out the history of this, because it was exactly what I was talking about today. That's why I was like, okay, I got to read this. So what they said then to the Pope, they said this, they condemned the nativity display as an example of a historical distortion, linking it to a broader effort to undermine Jewish historical connections. And this is what really got me. He says, it's a well-known, this Israeli minister, it's a well-known fact that Jesus was born to a Jewish mother, lived as a Jew, and died as a Jew. So they have no problem claiming Jesus as being Jewish, the nation of Israel. And I'm not bashing the nation of Israel. Don't get me wrong there. I'm not bashing either one of them. Just looking at the facts that the Jewish nation, who rejected Jesus even at his time of birth as the Messiah, they still come back and claim, hey, this is Jesus. He was Jewish. And then they began to look at the significance, and they said, here's the significance of Bethlehem. Bethlehem is the city where Rachel died giving birth to Benjamin. Find that in scripture, right? We just talked about it. And where David, son of Jesse, was born. We just talked about that in scripture. And the same David who became over king of Israel and made Jerusalem the capital, all happened in Bethlehem. The significance of Bethlehem, all of this took place. Now my question comes back to the Jewish people and the Palestinian people and Christian people have different viewpoints, and they battle many times, don't we? And don't they? More so than we're not living in that region of the world. But when you look at it, and the Jewish people now claim from this article that Jesus was Jewish, but at the same time, they killed him. They killed Jesus. That was also prophetic. That we know that had to happen. And when you get into why all this took place, it really blows my mind, right? Because God allows it to happen because it had to happen. But the Jewish people are claiming Jesus today as Jesus being Jewish, and he was Jesus. So what if you don't know that he was the Messiah? I guess that's my point, right? So why would you as a nation uphold Jesus, born in Bethlehem, this our city that Jesus had to be born in based on prophecy, talked about the Messiah, but yet not even hold to Jesus as the Messiah. To me, I find that ironic, because they have Jesus wrapped in a scarf in a manger. I'm not saying maybe that was the wisest thing to do from the Vatican, right? But at the same point, I kind of looked at that and I thought about that in my head. I'm like, but that's Jesus. Jesus came first, right? We know Jesus came as the infant. The Messiah foretold, the Messiah that had to fulfill prophecy from the Virgin, that went on this trip, that politics got Mary into Bethlehem, right? That's how it happened. Census was called, it was politics, and God used politics to, here's a ruler, call this decree, we have to get Mary to have birth in Bethlehem. Another prophecy that had to take place. So they get there, but yet today, the Jewish people still hold up there's many Messianic Jews. But the Vatican then, I looked at that and I was like, you know what? They're right. Like when Jesus was born, Jesus just didn't come for the Jewish people, did he? He didn't. Otherwise, I would not be saved. And you wouldn't either, because we're not Jewish. But Jesus came for the Jew first, no doubt. And we love Jewish people. But he also came for the Palestinians, because he loves the Palestinian people. Why? Because they're human beings that are dying, going to hell if they don't know Jesus Christ. He loves a Catholic person. There's plenty of Catholics out there who don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Just like there's plenty of evangelicals who go to church who don't know Jesus Christ as a Savior. End of the fact of the story is, why Bethlehem? Because the Messiah had to be born in Bethlehem. And the Messiah, based on Scripture, based on God's Word, is the only way for us to have salvation is by the Messiah. That was it. And you come back and you look at history and the battles that take place. Now I just come back and say, why was Herod and all the Jews disturbed? Why was this such a disturbing thing? Because there's still those, from the beginning of time, the spiritual forces that are taking place of deception. Of deception. Even now, we see it. Even now where the Jewish people call out, this is Jesus. But the deception is, it's great to call him, we can call out Jesus as our own. We can call out Jesus as a prophet. We can call out Jesus as a great man. But what does Scripture say about Jesus that was born in this manger, that was crucified on the cross? Scripture says, you must believe in him as the Messiah and give and repent to him and give him your sins and have him cleanse you and believe in him as the true Messiah, as our only way to get to heaven. But so many Jewish people don't. So many Palestinians don't. So many Gentiles don't. As we have Christmas this coming week, and we're still shopping to the stew, still people out there, and as Americans, we commercialize everything. And even in churches, we commercialize stuff, and we look at all the economy drivers and all the products and all the stuff and all these many things that we drive on. Then, and it all comes down to this time that we have to recognize and remember this prophecy of Jesus the Messiah was for us, was for our salvation. Well, it was for our salvation, and we need to remind ourselves that, and we need to tell others that same thing. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for just the whole Christmas story, Lord. I know I can't imagine how young girl Mary must have felt when confronted with giving birth to the Messiah and then having everyone doubt her. And Joseph the same way, trusting in you through this whole time and having people doubt them and look at them. I'm sure they were shunned. And Lord, I thank you for their willingness to continue to walk towards the love of you. Lord, I thank you for just this time of year. Help us to be more like you in our lifestyle as we talk about so many people that don't know you. Lord, you tell us that we're supposed to love our neighbor. You tell us we're supposed to love people, if they're Jewish or not Jewish, if they're Gentiles, that you loved and died for all people. Help us to remember that. All people. As we come to a close, Lord, we just thank you for this time and help us just to remember that Christmas morning as we look up on a tree and we see an angel or a star or a bow or even a snowflake, Lord. Help us to remember the purpose of why we celebrate this time. In your name we pray. Amen. Yeah. All part of that prophecy, right? Because the prophecy then had to take place of where Rachel, the women were crying. And why were they crying? They were crying in Ramah. They were crying because of all the death. Yeah. Absolutely. It had to take place that way. But it's just. As we leave, talk to your neighbor. Once again, it's Christmas time. You can ask somebody today of, why do you celebrate Christmas? What's the real reason for Christmas? And then we can go. We're dismissed. But you have to say that first. Mary, come on, you have to tell Jeff that.